This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fans, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are in the free Odyssey app, good Monday morning. Looks gross out there today. The forecast, not a great one this week in New York, but we've got playoff basketball game one tonight up in Boston, Knicks and Celtics. We will talk some Mets and Yankees as the show goes on. We got to recap the bike tour 2025. I also need someone, maybe Al or Allie or somebody who is free to get me a paper towel with some, I have some cleaning solution in here because I believe Steve Summers was doing his podcast in here. And there are little pieces of tobacco that are on the desk. There is a used cough drop that he just took out of his mouth and left here. And there's also a chewed off fingernail over to my left.
So oh, that's gross.
Hopefully this is not a sign of things to come for this week. But what a start, Boomer. I hope the bike tour went better than the last 5 minutes for me. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
I think for about 99.9% of the people that were in the bike tour, everything went well. I know of one person who really had a rough go at the end. And hopefully he's doing okay this morning. And I know he spent the night in the hospital. That's how bad it was. I don't want to mention his name. But hopefully he's doing okay.
This is a bad way to start the
day.
Well,
you started with a cough drop and a fingernail.
I was hoping you'd have good news.
You started with a cough drop and a fingernail and some tobacco. I mean, Jesus.
Welcome back, everybody, right, after a nice weekend.
You gotta wipe a fingernail. You got to wipe that stuff up, man. I mean, oh, my God. So a couple things I want to start with. Number one, you know, if you watched Indiana play Cleveland last night, this is exactly what the Knicks need to do. You need to try to go and steal one and do it quickly. It looked like Cleveland was a little bit off, especially late in the game. But for those of us who remember what Indiana did to the Knicks last year, you know, we've seen this story.
Yeah.
We know that they can play. We know that they can hang with teams. It's just that, you know, now have they learned how to hit the key shots and get the key rebounds at the key time. And they did last night. And interestingly enough, I'm watching side by side on YouTube TV that and the Winnipeg Jets and St. Louis Blues and that damn hockey game. Winnipeg scores with 2 seconds left to go in the third period in the entire game. And they score a goal to tie it. And they scored 2 goals under 3 minutes with the goalie pulled.
Yeah.
Tie the game, and then they go on, and you know, of course, I'm an idiot. I got to sit up and watch this thing.
Yeah, you are.
And they go into second overtime, and they end up winning the game. And it was a game with 5 minutes to go in the game. They had no shot whatsoever. It was one of the most incredible things I had ever seen. Especially, you know, everybody in the fan base. I mean, like, was dead. Like, they weren't really into the game, and that was because the Blues had played a really great game for two and three quarters periods. And then all of a sudden, the onslaught came. It's got to be amazing up there, just like it is in Indiana this morning. Like, Indiana went out there and actually controlled the Cavaliers, especially in the fourth quarter, especially under 5 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking miracles. You're talking about crazy things happening in the playoffs, and that's what it feels like you're going to have to get for the Knicks to win this series, because there isn't a person on the planet that doesn't wear a Knicks uniform or is on that coaching staff that feels great about them winning this series. And that's what it feels like it takes. Now, I like the comparison between the Cavs and the Pacers, because the Cavs are on such a roll. They're the best team in the regular season in the East. And then all of a sudden now they get smacked around at home by the Pacers, and it's a reality check. Wouldn't you love to see that in this series? Wouldn't you love the New York Knicks to go up and take one from the Boston Celtics to make it feel like they'll actually be in the series? Because if they don't, I mean, if they end up losing by 15 tonight, and this looks like one of the regular season games, then you know, I feel like there's getting swept is on the table. That's why I really need to see what they have. I mean, at this point, it feels feels like Celtics in five. I think that's what the consensus seems to be. Is the Celtics in five spot? I feel totally differently about that if the Knicks come out and win this game like the Pacers did. I mean, they're massive, massive underdogs. And I didn't love what we saw in the Pistons series. But, hell, it's sports, right, man? There's miracles.
Well, that's
the thing. We're sitting here talking 6 o'clock in the morning on a Monday. The Winnipeg Jets and the St. Louis Blues, for God's sakes. Miracles can happen in sports.
I will say this, though. The Pacers did play well against Boston and Cleveland during the regular season.
I think they had the Knicks.
I think they had 5 wins against those two teams. And either 4 or 5 wins. And so they are not intimidated at all by playing any of these teams. And, you know, the Knicks, you know, it's interesting. Like you say, Celtics in 5. No matter where you look. I don't care whether it's Stephen A, you know, in his bombastic nature, or any basketball insider, nobody, I mean nobody's
picking the Knicks.
Giving the Knicks a chance. I haven't seen one person predict an upset. And if I were in the realm of, like, NBA, analysts and stuff, mm-hmm. I would basically just pick the Knicks, because if they win, and everybody's going to think you know what the hell you're doing. If they lose, nobody's going to care, because everybody thought that they were going to lose.
Well, in this particular instance, you are in the NBA analyst realm. So are you picking the Knicks?
Yeah, why not?
Oh, okay.
I mean, I don't know why.
Knicks in 6, Knicks in 7.
You know what? The difference maker is going to be Precious Achiuwa.
Oh, you think he's going to get some minutes, huh?
I hope he does. But, this is what we've all been waiting for. This is, all right, they get through Detroit. It wasn't that easy. It was physical. They got a couple days off. That's great. What I don't want to see, and this is where Tibbs comes in tonight, I just don't want to see Boston getting on one of those 3-point heater runs that they've been known for.
Yeah, of course.
This can come from
any one of their guys.
I mean, that's the amazing thing. And, you know, they take pride in beating the Knicks. See, like, does Cleveland really care about beating Indiana? Of course they do, but, I mean, is it a real hardcore rivalry that goes back 50 years? No. This one is. The Celtics and the Knicks, and the Celtics have all the championship banners to point to, as to the basically dominant over the Knicks. And I think there's a sense for the Celtics, at least my sense is, that they love beating the Knicks. Like, they're not going to take anybody for granted.
Yeah, I mean, it was almost, and they said that they brought their A game, and they find another gear is what multiple Celtics players said the last time that they beat the Knicks in the regular season. And it might have something to do with the fact that they won the championship last year. Then remember the whole Jason Tatum not playing in the Olympics thing?
That
put a chip on their shoulder. And then guess who was talked about more than anybody?
Jalen Brunson.
In the offseason.
Oh, Carl Anthony Towns.
It was the Knicks. They made the big trade. Here they come. This is the team. Watch out, Boston Celtics. So they're probably like, everybody shut up. Like, we got the best players. You sit me in the Olympics. This is what Tatum's probably thinking. Oh, so what? They got Carl Anthony Towns. Doesn't mean a thing to me. And then on top of that, you know, the Cavaliers have a better regular season record than them, so they're going to come into this series looking for something to prove, and it's amazing that the defending champs are going to have a chip on their shoulder, but they are.
And they're playing their heated rival that they have dominated over the years, and that there's something to it. Now, if I were the Knicks and the players, and I were the coaching staff and everything else, I would try to use this as fuel for my fire.
Yeah.
And I'd want to shock the world. I mean, I really, I mean, like, you have to think that way. You have to think that you're going to shock the world. And I guess, you know, from listening to the Knicks players over the last couple of days in their interviews, you know, they're all saying the right thing.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not they're going to be able to pull it off, man, this is like an 85-15, 90-10 long shot. And if somebody gets hurt in this series for the Celtics, then things may change.
Yeah, of course. I mean, and that's something that you can't predict. You don't want to look forward to or forecast. But I just want to see if the odds had gone up or down since we took a look at it on Friday. The Knicks were they were plus 660 to win the series, and the Celtics were minus 1,000, meaning that if you wanted to win $100 on the Celtics winning the series, you'd have to put up $1,000 to win that particular bet. And for the Knicks, if you put up $100, you'd win $660 if you won. So,
well, I mean, it's going to be, it is exactly that feel. It has that underdog feel to it. But there's a reason why, that they play the game.
Oh, here we go.
You know, I've told you this a million times.
Yep.
And if you are the Knicks, it's got to be, you know, one quarter or one possession, one quarter, one half, one game. That's it.
That's right.
You just got to lock in, and you just got to keep, and Thibodeau's got to keep them from, you know, the 18-3 run, yeah. You know, 15-2 run. Somehow he's got to stem that, and he's got to use his timeouts, I think, judiciously. I think that's a big part of this.
It's gone down a little bit. So the Celtics are now minus 850 as opposed to minus 1,000, and the Knicks are plus 590 as opposed to 660. So it's got some Knicks fans in there. They're like, you know what? Screw it. I got to throw some money on this.
Why not? I mean, see what happens. You never
Why
know.
Why not? And maybe you got some people after watching last night's game. They're like, oh, maybe the Knicks do the same thing.
I'm always like, why can't our team do that? Why can't our team upset, you know, and have it be a monumental upset? That's what this would be. It would be. I mean, you got the best teams in the league that have all gone on, except maybe Houston, who loses last night to Golden State in Game 7. But, you know, pretty much, you know, Denver turned their season around after they fired Mike Malone. You know, they wipe out the Clippers, and, you know, James Harden gets to go home early again.
Oh, yeah. He was on purpose.
And by the way, you know, here's the thing that, you know, if you really want to get ticked off at James Harden, I don't really care because he's not here anymore. Mm-hmm. But the thing about him is when he loses, he skirts out of the locker room.
Oh, he can't wait to
talk.
Get out of
he doesn't talk to anybody.
Well, he's
doesn't
done.
Talk to the media. Every game that he lost in this series, they lost. I don't think he was available or made himself available to the press. That's BS, man.
He is a piece of work.
Like the NBA should fine his ass like as much as they possibly can, because you know it doesn't matter to him because he's made so much money over the years, but you know he has a responsibility as an NBA player. You know, with the fans paying as much money as they pay to go see these games, and how invested the fan bases are for all of these teams, you know, you have a responsibility to go out there and talk. It may not be what you want to do. You may say something stupid. You may be annoyed by some of the questions. But as a professional athlete in this country, that is your responsibility. Your responsibility is to stand up there and talk and give your honest opinion as to what you think happened or what you can do better next year so it doesn't happen again.
Guy's been a jerk his entire career. You know, Eddie gets all fired up for Yankees Elimination Day. The only person that's happier about Elimination Day is James Harden and his own Elimination Day. He can't wait to get out of there. He start his off season. It's his favorite day of the year is when his season ends. So we said it when they won a Game 6, and I was like, wow, this is unbelievable that James Harden actually won an elimination game. But I said, bet all his unders in Game 7 because he does not want to go to the second round. And he didn't. I mean, I really, like, I'm half kidding and I'm half serious that I think he does not, he gets to a point where he doesn't want to play anymore. And he's like, you know, I think this is fine. I'm going to stink today and then I'm going to go home because the offseason is more fun to me than playing in the playoffs.
So we were in our 7th year together, right?
This is where we completed 7. We're in our 8th year.
Oh, we're in our 8th year. Wow.
Yeah, God. We've completed
Dang,
7.
Fast.
Yeah.
And I think from the day that you sat in that chair,
mm-hmm.
and this is before he got to Brooklyn and before he got to Philadelphia, before all this other crap that's been going on in his career, he was in Houston.
Yeah.
You were basically saying the same thing when we first started here, and I was a little bit shocked by it, to be honest. But you've been saying it for the last 8 years.
And here we go again.
Same exact thing in regards to that player.
Yep, and he did it again. I mean, and now you can't deny it at this point. I mean, everybody knows it was a trend, and now it's just a fact that this guy doesn't want to play. So, you know, and it's really he is everything that you love about sports and like an athlete. Like pick someone. I don't know, like a Pete Alonso. You absolutely love the guy. A Francisco Lindor, you know, he wants to win.
And Aaron Judge.
Aaron Judge. Everything that you love about...
Jalen Brunson,
those guys. James Harden is the antithesis of. He doesn't care about winning or losing. He doesn't care about the fans. He cares about nothing but partying in the offseason. So, and you know what? He's earned that right because he's getting hundreds of millions of dollars. And he could do whatever he wants with it. So, and that's what he wants to do with it. But if you're a general manager throughout the years and you brought him in to win... You're a complete idiot.
I was watching it's one of the announcers that I guess on TV out there that covers the Clippers.
Yeah.
Just absolutely eviscerate James Harden.
Yeah,
he eviscerates him.
Doesn't even get to him, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's been hearing this for years, and it doesn't even bother him. I mean, the only time that he got upset or showed any emotion in his career was when Daryl Morey didn't give him that extension that he was going to promise him, and he had to force his way out of Philadelphia because he wanted to get paid. That was it. That's the only time you ever heard from him. And then also when he faked being out of shape in Houston to get to Brooklyn, and he put on a fat suit. And then all of a sudden he shows up in Brooklyn in shape one day later. Anyway, he stinks. The Knicks don't have players like that, thank goodness. And it all starts tonight, and we're looking for superstar performances night in and night out from Jalen Brunson, Karl-Anthony Towns, and everybody else on this roster. It's going to take a miracle. I really do feel that way. I don't think that is something that is over the top. They haven't been able to beat this team. They're not as good as they are.
Do you think, this is a situation where Karl-Anthony Towns is better than Al Horford.
Yeah, right, yes.
But and Al Horford is, what, 38 years old now?
He is, yeah, he's been in the league for a long time.
So, I mean, that has got to be a place. And I know Horford does a lot of different things for the Celtics. Like, he knows his role better than anybody.
Yeah.
It's kind of like why you would bring P.J. Tucker here, just to, you know, have a presence in the locker room and maybe give him 5 or 10 minutes, although Horford plays more than that. But if there is a distinct advantage, I would think on the offensive end, even though Horford is, you know, he's 38 years old. I mean, this is where Karl-Anthony Towns has got to dominate in this series. He can't have a 10-point game and expect to win.
No, that's not going to happen against the Boston Celtics unless someone else goes off for 40 other than Jalen Brunson. Like, Jalen Brunson has 35 and then OG has 45 or something. That's the only way that Karl-Anthony Towns scores 10 points and the Knicks win a game in a series.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about this. You think it would have been better if the Knicks played the Cleveland Cavaliers here in this series?
No, I don't know. I don't know if there's that much of a difference. We'll see what happens with the Pacers in this series, but
they are annoying, by the way.
The Pacers?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, I know. And then Halliburton's feeding into that whole overrated thing. As his peers voted him the most overrated.
Yeah, I know. That good for him, man. Yeah. I mean, that's what I would do.
Yeah.
Wouldn't
overrate
you do that?
This, he said. Overrate that. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely fuel for him. That would be great. I mean, you would sign for, even though the Pacers gave the Knicks fits last year, and they would have come through this series, all of us would accept a Pacers-Knicks Eastern Conference Finals if that ever happened. That's what you're looking for. Feels unlikely, but... we'll see what happens tonight.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry Recco is here. He's got sports for us. What's going on, Jerry?
Well, we've got Knicks Celtics for you. That's what we've got tonight. Game one of their Eastern Conference semifinal series. So first and foremost, Jalen Brunson, how do you go win this thing?
Obviously keep bodies on bodies, not letting them loose for open threes. You can test everything and be ready for the long rebounds and second shots. And so I think that'll be a big key.
And so we will see if they can do that. Here's Karl Anthony Towns. Obviously, we know the Knicks didn't do well against Boston in the regular season, going 0-4, much better in game four. What'd you learn against them this year?
Just executing at a high level, but, you know, being disciplined, you got to play 48 minutes against them. You know, we didn't do that in the fourth game, and it cost us the game. So, you know, we just got to be ready to do whatever it takes to get a win.
And how can we talk about Boston without reliving Joe Mazzulla from the playoffs last year?
What kind of pressure do you have, do you feel, to kind of maximize this opportunity that you have with this group?
Zero. No pressure. We're all going to be dead soon, and it really doesn't matter anymore, so there's zero pressure.
He's right up your alley. Yeah, zero I'm pressure. Telling you. I was looking at your 2025 calendar, just reading through it.
Oh, okay.
And thank you. It was on my desk.
Very hopeful, that calendar.
Yeah, well, it is more hopeful than normal. Yes,
it is.
But you still have in there, it's a bird, you moron. You still have that in there.
And you're still a moron. That is true.
I mean, but you and Joe Mazzulla are like simpatico.
Simpatico, you know? Okay.
Yes, you are.
It seems fine. Fine, I'll accept that. Here's Jaylen Brown. New York, Boston, pretty cool.
It's a great stage for basketball, you know, just all the history between, you know, Boston and New York. It's excellent to be able to live or to relive in that. So I don't take that for granted, you know. I think a lot of people will be excited watching this series just because of the history.
You think they're thinking rocking chair? The Celtics are like a rocking chair series.
I don't. I think their fans might be. Yeah. I don't think they are. I don't.
They're probably thinking, though, that we would have to really screw this up to lose this series.
Somebody has to get hurt.
So you don't think they have any respect for the Knicks?
I don't.
That they're going to roll them?
I especially, like, I was a little encouraged by that game four, but if I were a Celtics fan or on the Celtics, I'd be like, we played like crap in that game, still came back and beat them. Like, they got no shot.
I would have to say that the Celtics are more annoyed about all the publicity around the Knicks, but that's a New York team. You say the same thing about the Yankees. Now it's the Mets with the Juan Soto.
Yeah.
And every time somebody plays either the Yankees or the Mets, you know, because of the headlines they garner, the money they spend, you know, that's going to be part of it. You know what I mean?
Probably true. Well, we'll see. If they get game one tonight, that'll be, will change the course of the series, you would think. So we shall see. Pacers took game one from the Cavaliers, 121-112. But it wasn't maybe who you would think who kind of led the way.
Pacers lead by three. They leave Nembhard open, and they pay the price out on the far sideline. A three ball. Do they not know their personnel?
I don't know, but that was Pacers radio with the call. A really good fourth quarter from Indiana. They go into Cleveland and take game one. Nembhard had 23 points. Tyrese Halliburton, 22 points, 13 assists. On the losing side of things, Kenny Atkinson was asked how things went for his club.
Average.
It's never good when your coach starts his press conference with a mouth fart. Never good.
Yeah, not good.
No, it's not good at all. But, yeah, that's where they're at. Maybe a wake-up call. Maybe Cleveland had no respect for Indiana.
Or maybe Cleveland just had too much time off.
It could be too. You know, they've had the same amount of time as Boston, basically, right?
That's what they've I'm saying. Had maybe almost they haven't a full had too week. Much time off.
Yeah, it's certainly possible. So they're up one game to none. And then you had the Warriors and the Rockets, game seven of their first round series.
Draymond was double teamed out to Buddy Hield, and he is just not missing in Houston.
Buddy Hield has the liftoff here. The Warriors lead by 10, 80-70.
That's your guy.
Yeah, Tim Roy. Oh, man.
Warriors Radio.
These guys. Woohoo.
They won 103-89. Buddy Hield, how about this? 9 of 11 from three-point range, 12 of 15 overall. He had 33 as they take the series.
The Eastern Conference, you got the top four teams in the Eastern Conference, Cavaliers, Pacers, Knicks, and Celtics. Out in the West, the Timberwolves and the Warriors were the 6 and 7 seeds. Although I would say that the Warriors, you know, added Jimmy Butler.
Well, they were favored in the series. Even though what their seed was, they were favored.
And remember how clumped up the Western Conference was as well.
And you got 1-4, 6-7, Jerry.
There you
go. Clump. They're all clumped together.
Here's Hield. He was really feeling it.
Being in the zone is very spiritual. You know, it's just you and that rim and the net and the ball. And you just freaking it out. And sometimes you put anything up and just goes in. But just being at peace.
Yeah, well,
gee, that sounds like you on the golf course.
Yeah, just at peace.
Oh, by the way, didn't you have a golf.com following you guys
around? Yes, we had.
Like this Sunday morning?
Golf Magazine and golf.com. Magazine, yeah. Yes, well, it's the same thing. So Golf Magazine is also golf.com. They showed up a documentary film crew as they're doing a three-part series on Long Island golf, public, private, and Bethpage. And, yeah, they showed up 5:30 in the morning.
Did you give them good content?
I think they got more than they bargained for.
Okay.
I think they got enough stuff there to do a documentary on us just alone and forget about the other stuff.
How many guys played?
It was 24 yesterday.
Oh, everybody showed up because the cameras were there.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, definitely.
Was everybody dressed appropriately or come like normal?
They were.
But they overdress?
A lot of the guys were trying to get plugs their local businesses in, though. That was one thing that was, you know, one guy's, hey, can you get a shot at a truck over there? South Shore Steel Coat? I'm like, no. They're not here to pump your business, man. But yeah, the guys are great.
And it's unbelievable.
And they're WFAN listeners, this crew. They're on from Long Island, so
they know exactly what they were stepping into.
Yeah, the one guy, Phil, was at Oakmont like 2 days ago and then was at West Save yesterday. A little bit different, but I can't wait. That's going to be out sometime in late June, I think, so excited about that.
Nice. The baseball story, the Mets lost 2 to the Cardinals. We'll start with game 2 as the Cardinals completed the Sunday sweep.
1-1 to Scott. That's toward the gap in right center field. That is down for a hit. Big trouble. Rolling to the wall. Pozo around second. Heading for third. They're going to wave him home. The cutoff throw is dropped by Lindor. Pozo slides in safely.
He sure does. That's Al's new guy. It used to be Alejandro Kirk with the Blue Jays. Now it's Pozo, who goes, we looked him up. He goes 262.
Wow.
As he's rumbling around the bases with the go-ahead run, 5-4 at that point, 5-4 the final score. That was Keith Rad on Mets Odyssey Radio. Tyler McGill didn't factor in the loss. Max Kranick took the loss in game 2, but that's back-to-back series losses for the Mets.
Stay at a time, try to win each game when we go out there. Slush this, get into Arizona tonight and come out and play hard tomorrow and try to win tomorrow.
That'll be a 9:40 start.
Problem
tonight
with them is, you know, their pitching staff starting to fall apart a little bit. Well, but they are just not getting key hits.
They're not hitting the ball, exactly.
And plus, let's face it, I mean, Soto should have had a home run yesterday in the second game.
You can make a case, a couple of them. Even game 1, he went to the fence.
No, well, that was some catch yesterday.
All true. In game 1, Blade Tidwell suffered the loss. It was his first major league start. Didn't go so great for him. 6 runs, 9 hits, 3 walks over 3 2/3. But did you at least allow yourself to soak in the moment?
I did. A brief second. I did more of the soaking in, like in the warm-ups.
What was that like when you did?
It was awesome. I've been dreaming about this since I was a little kid, and just to be able to come up here and try to help the team win.
You guys ever soaked anything in?
I do, actually, every day. I do now.
Yeah. You do now?
Yeah, I do. I would say the last 5 years, yes.
Soaking it in?
Yeah, I try not to take, I'll take advantage. Wow, take anything for granted.
Right. Al, do you soak things in?
Probably I used to soak things in. I'm not much of a soaker now.
Really?
Yeah. I guess it depends where I go.
Like nowhere.
Right, that's the problem. Like I've soaked in my condo already.
You've soaked that in already. Yeah. Okay.
Soaked it in here, you know.
How about you?
Yeah, I've been soaking a lot more. I got to tell that trip we took to Italy last summer, that was a lot of soaking in there. Right. I was even telling Gina, you got to soak this in. A lot of soaking. Let's soak. Let's
soak it in. Let's focus
spend a second
in.
To yes. soak here because it's, before you know, we're going to be back home. Got to soak it up.
You can soak in a Griffin Canning start tonight
all
in
right.
Arizona. As for the Yankees, they lost. They didn't have a great weekend either. They wound up losing 2 of 3 to the Rays ending yesterday.
Swing on, hit up the middle, top spin, diving play by Peraza, and runner's coming home, and it hits the mound. And Simpson scores from second, a base hit and an RBI, diving play by Peraza to stop it from going into the outfield. But that kid Simpson, as we told you, he can fly.
Got some wheels. How about the Oswaldo left side of the infield yesterday for the Yankees? Which was
how bad is Volpe, by the way?
I don't know, to be honest. I'm not sure.
Good question.
I mean, that was a brutal play. Oof.
7-5 was the final yesterday as the Yankees lose to the Rays. Here's the one thing I give you from the Yankee game. Cody Bellinger, two things. 200th home run on the loss. And you also had this. We had for the Mets, we had Blade Tidwell. Yesterday, Jorbeat Vivas got his first base hit. And it was.
You're like going silver lining this morning.
Very positive.
I mean, both teams have lost back-to-back series.
That is very true.
And you're going silver lining. Jerry, I think you've turned over a new leaf.
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Next thing you know, you're dead.
Yeah.
You never spent the time with your family. No one cares about you.
I do feel bad for people like that. That is very true. Here was Aaron Judge, who went all positive on Jorbeat.
Just electric at-bats. Great job on defense. You know, every swing, I feel like he's trying to take it to hit it out to the bleachers. But, you know, he'll take his walks when he needs to. He can hit it to opposite field with the best of them. So it's been impressive to see him, you know, past couple seasons, especially in spring training. So now to see him, you know, come out, make his debut, get his first knock, that was pretty special.
So it was a 2-run single in the 8th inning. In the loss, you got the Yankees and the Padres coming up tonight. Carlos Rodon, Nick Pivetta, the starters there on the Fan at 6:25. NHL yesterday. So you had, I know we wouldn't usually do much of this, but the Blues and the Jets were
on. That was incredible.
St. Louis is up by 2 goals. They're up 3-1 with like 3 minutes to go in the game. They pull the goalie. And they get within one. Then in the closing seconds,
Velarde back in behind the net. Velarde back to the line. Ehlers moves in, shoots. And he fanned on that, got it back again. Far side, quick shot. Deflected in front. They score! Cole Perfetti with a deflection. 1.6 seconds left. In the third period, the Jets have tied it up at 3. Holy smokes!
Sounds like Carlin a little bit.
It does.
A little. Yeah, I would say a little bit. That's pretty good.
Pandemonium in Winnipeg.
So they tie the game. You not go to one, but you go to 2 overtimes where Winnipeg would just stun St. Louis.
Connor back toward the line. Pionk. Pionk walks the line. Wristed through traffic. He scores! Deflected in front by the captain, Adam Lowry. Jets win! Jets win! Jets win!
Yeah, I would
another,
say so.
Another discarded Ranger right there. That's Neil Pionk on the point there for the Winnipeg Jets.
Pretty electric, though, as they do advance.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
So Jets radio with the combo. It was Adam Lowry, by the way, with the game-winning goal. And I don't know how much of this you caught, but the Scotty Scheffler weekend was stupid, to be quite honest. And how about, I guess Nance was off, how about our guy, Andrew Catalan, that was calling the action for CBS?
He ties the record. Full circle for Scheffler. Scotty wins for the first time this year, and it comes in the event he attended as a kid.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Yeah, he's got a page right out of Jim's book.
31 under par. I mean, the first two rounds of this tournament, it was over. It was stupid.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. The conditions were absolutely perfect.
I know.
There was no wind. The greens were soft. They were rolling perfectly. I mean, even when he was a little bit offline, he could still get up and down with the birdie.
There was a par 5 yesterday, a 550-yard par 5. He drives it into the sand, and then it's an 8-iron out of the sand at 2 feet.
Yeah.
Stupid.
It's ridiculous.
It really is. This might be the shot, actually. Absolutely insane. So, pretty good for him, and he gets the win.
Heating up.
Here he comes.
I mean, I don't know if I like. I like to see guys struggle a little bit.
Not this weekend.
Will at Oakmont.
This is like a high-scoring football game. This is like, Steph Curry dropping threes from, 35 feet. I mean, that was great. I mean, you had a great round, but like the golf course was too easy.
It was easy. Even Jordan Spieth touched 62 yesterday.
Yeah, even him was stuck for years.
I don't mean it that way. I just meant like that's a really low number.
Yeah.
So they were happening all weekend long. That's all.
And it was a par 71, right?
Or par 71? I thought it was 72. Was it 71?
I don't know.
Maybe it was.
Just Google it.
I could. Either way, the scores were very low.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, so let me just say thank you to everybody who rode yesterday for our Team Boomer bike tour. It was amazing. It was a great day. The NYPD, the Parks Police, you know, PAPD, everybody does a great job of making sure that we're all safe out there. I know a couple people fell and a couple people got seriously injured, but
Look at this. Here we go.
I gotta say, CeeLo, Pat Boyle, of course, that's Taco Frank there on the right.
Oh, okay.
You got Boyle and then you got Marash. They all finished. They all did a great job. And Taco Frank is a very interesting guy because he's a listener to us. He loves the radio station. He's a huge memorabilia collector, I found out over the weekend.
He actually looks like a normal guy.
Yeah, you know, he seems like a normal guy. He's got a beautiful wife, beautiful kids, great. So on Saturday, we do a pep rally up at the Edge.
Yeah.
And I love the Edge. The Edge is one of the best things in New York City to do. If you haven't done it, you got to go do it. You got to go see what it looks like. And it's all in Hudson Yards. So every time we have an event like this, we usually have a pep rally up there for people, especially the first timers who love coming up and seeing the Edge and everything else. So Taco Frank was going to bring his family to the Edge. Taco Frank calls Jerry Cahill, who runs Team Boomer for me, and says, "I'm here." Jerry goes, "Where are you?" He goes, "I'm here at the starting line for the race."
Oh, no.
Jerry's like, "What? You're at the starting line for the race on Saturday when you're supposed to be here at the Edge at Hudson Yards?"
Was he all dressed in his thing, too?
No, he wasn't. He wasn't. Okay. Like, he knew that this was a pep rally.
Oh, all right.
And he thought we were doing it down here at the starting level down in Tribeca.
Yeah, not
good. When it says in the email, "We're at the Edge at Hudson Yards. We're going to meet at the Vessel."
Okay.
So that tells you a little bit about Taco
Frank. Well, listen, man, Taco Frank, he stepped up and donated a lot of money.
Right. So right now, the team WFA and NARPS is over 26,000.
Nice.
My team Boompa, is over 72,000 to 73,000. I'm still waiting on people who have made commitments who have not sent in their checks.
Okay.
Nothing worse than making a commitment and not coming through on it.
Yeah. Well,
beat your ass. I'm gonna find you when I see you next.
You want to name a couple of those people?
I do not. Oh, okay. I don't want to shame anybody into anything, especially when it is it's required, and you know, just don't make the commitment if you don't want to. That's all. You know how I am about that.
No, trust me. I know. I am well aware.
Right.
That's why. But anyway, the other day.
Allie finished. Everybody, you know, pretty much finished, except that one gentleman who unfortunately suffered some significant injuries. So we'll find out what happened with him, and hopefully he's doing okay today. But it was great. Dunkin' Donuts, a huge sponsor of ours. They were great. They were there. They had a professional cyclist on their team.
Oh.
So I actually rode for 2 hours and 32 minutes. That was my ride time. Not bad.
That's really good.
It's the best I've ever done.
I was going to say, my goodness.
Yeah, and I was not waiting for my teammates or getting, you know, I'm not out there, you know, like glad handing. You know what I'm saying? Like,
so you left those guys in the dust this year?
Well,
last year or 2 years ago, you were with them the whole time. We were all together.
Yeah, I know. But what happens is they lollygag.
Lollygaggers.
And I'm not a lollygagger.
You don't need any of that
stuff.
And
when you lollygag, you get stuck at lights. Like sometimes they have to stop the race to let cars go through.
That's right.
And, you know, I made it all the way through to the halfway point where they had to hold us for about 25 minutes before we took off for the second half of it. And then, of course, when you get out there in that BQE and you see that the mother of all mother bridges, the Verrazano, it's like, okay, you know you're coming to an end.
Yep, you're right about there.
Which is great. So we raised we broke a record this year. We should be close, if not over, $300,000 raised.
That is awesome.
So thank you to everybody out there that supported us. And to all the racers that raced and toured. And I had a good time. I think everybody had a pretty good time.
So you finished it in 2 hours and 32 minutes. Yes. And Morash said that he finished in under 4 hours and was proud of that.
He should be, because he's never done it before. I mean, Allie beat him.
Well, I would hope so.
Hasn't ridden a bike. She's a Peloton person, though. Yeah, but she told me she hasn't ridden a bike like in 15 years.
Look at these guys. There's this one picture of them where they look like a washed up boy band. right here. Look at these guys. Look at CeeLo's thirst trap eyes in that picture.
Yes.
What is that all about?
There's Allie.
Yep.
That's all good, man.
Chris Patera up there in the front.
Great group
of people. The legend that he is.
Yes.
Where's Captain Dave? We got to find Captain
Matty
Dave.
Matty Martz down in the lower left-hand corner.
Oh, how did he do?
He did great.
Something he wouldn't have been able to do?
That was a little bit of a surprise.
That he showed up?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he wasn't planning on doing it?
No, he wasn't. He wasn't a part of it until, I think, Bob asked him last week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he showed up.
They since you're not doing this hockey thing corner. Anymore.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, since the hockey thing's over.
Right, exactly.
Is that how Bob did it? He asked him?
The hockey thing seems to be over now. You want to get on a bike?
Since you're kind of retired, I'm jump on this bike. Maybe you feel like an athlete again.
Exactly.
One of those things?
Right.
So, by the way, we have our kickoff to summer announcement at 8 a.m. today. So finally we can
Didn't you just announce it? Like by say, why? What? You said that we have a kickoff to summer.
Yeah. But it's a whole, all the details are there.
Oh, it's a whole thing then.
Yeah, no, all the details, special musical guests. We haven't announced that at all. The times and everything. So.
Oh, but speaking of special.
Were you trying to crap on the announcement or something?
No. But speaking of special musical guests, you know who's over here in the Disney building this morning?
I don't.
You have no idea.
I don't know.
You know that Kelly Ripa show? What show is that? What do they call that show?
The Kelly Ripa show?
Is that what it's called?
Kelly Live or something?
Is that what it is? Yeah. Your boy Jordan Davis is over there.
Yeah, right? I know. He's.
Oh, I thought you said you didn't know.
No, I. You said I didn't know. I know he's in New York. I didn't know he was doing that.
He didn't call you?
No, he's got a. He didn't call me. I did get a text about
I think you're yesterday's news.
Of course. I knew that a year ago, but I did get a text about how they've got a...
They want to play golf and they need to get on a golf course?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, this was it. It was a save the date, Monday, May 5th, happy hour listening thing. I got a text about that.
Oh, really? Where's that?
That is at Silver Lining in, this is 145 Bowery, 5 o'clock. I was like, Monday, 5 o'clock. I was like, listen, I'm sorry.
Can't do it.
I don't care who you are. I mean, unless your last name is Lipa, I'm not hanging around that late in New York City. I'm sorry.
So he's performing this morning.
Yeah, at, I guess the Kelly Ripa show.
Yeah.
Whatever. I mean, listen, should we be offended by that at this point?
I mean, he didn't call you or anything?
I told you, I got a text about the album.
Yeah, but who sent the text?
It was a group text with him and a bunch of other people.
Okay, but he didn't send it.
He responded after that. He was like, yeah, come on out. Come on. And I was like, no, it's Monday. Sorry. Can't do this on a Saturday or Sunday, you weirdos. A Monday at 5 o'clock?
That's the worst.
Rock star life that you have?
That is the worst.
What are you, nuts? I mean, my goodness. All right, it is Boomer and Gio. Where did you see that, by the way? Did you see it on like a commercial or something?
Yeah, I saw it on a commercial.
Oh, okay. Yeah. These big news these days, you know? Mm. It's all right. We can promote other albums.
What do I always tell you?
That you were right about something?
No. Stop. Stop with that.
What?
You got to really stop with that.
I'm just pointing out the facts.
No.
You love being right more than anybody.
Don't forget where you came from.
What? Oh, him. Yeah, that's true.
That's what I always tell you.
So you're mad at him now?
Not mad. He's more your friend than my friend.
Sounds like you're mad at him.
Not mad at him. I'm just watching out for you, my boy.
Watching out for me. Come on. No, you know, it is funny, though, the kickoff to summer announcement is today, and we're talking about this. Because those back channel things that have gone on with that whole thing.
Back channel.
We got squashed. Came in and squashed it. We had a deal. A deal was made.
Somebody that this has no idea.
But we got a. It's great.
Oh, it is. Okay,
kick off the summer announcement coming up at 8 o'clock.
I think we'll have a great time.
I think it's even better now. You know what I'm saying? We'll have a great time?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
No, I mean, you'll have a great time.
But you're not going to have a great time?
No, I'll have a great time.
What are you getting at?
Not
you bailing on this?
No, I can't bail on it.
You said, well, you guys are
I don't want to bail
time.
On it. I love that show.
I was going to say, my goodness. Doesn't get any better than that. And then the countdown clock for retirement for Eddie starts, too. 1 year. That's going to be a sad moment for us. Each day we tick by. No more SCOs.